Well, we hate to say we told you so, but we did. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
As always, it's great to talk to you, Barry. It's good to be back. We're face-to-face today, kind of a rarity in the studio, but...
It is. Well, Chuck, it's also, I hate to say it, maybe I'm in sin, but it is good to be able to say, hey, we told you so. Because honestly, Charles, we nailed this one, and I think we nailed this on yesterday's program.
As a matter of fact,
it didn't take 24 hours before what we predicted was going to happen actually happened. And that is the mass rush by pretty much the entire MSM and others around the Obama administration to do everything they possibly can in their power to, well, shall we say, color the perceptions of the public as to the PRISM program whistleblower, and to make people think that somehow what he did was a threat to our national security.
And that's exactly the meme that's out there now. We've got to take attention off what it is that he exposed in order to make him into some kind of a horrible spy or a foreign agent or some kind of other thing. So let's talk about what it is exactly that he did. He exposed the fact that the United States government isn't spending all its time trying to weed out foreign nationals and maybe traitors inside the country. They're spending all their time watching yours and mine and everybody out there's phone calls, internet traffic, emails.
I still, even though it hasn't come out, I'll say probably what we check out of the library, your video store, what you do on Netflix, my guess, what books you order from Amazon, what you buy on eBay. It's all there, buddy.
Let me tell you something. I have a unit called Netgear that lets me view internet content on my television. And I have it upstairs on my little TV, and very often I'll go up there and I'll get YouTube on. Because YouTube has a great repository of really old documentaries. And I watched this 27-part BBC series from the early 60s on World War I. But I've also been watching a bunch of BBC and other country stuff on the Third Reich. Now, if anybody looks at my traffic, they're going to think that I'm some kind of neo-Nazi. Well, my wife brought this up. She goes, you realize if they're actually monitoring you, because you have an interest in the period, they're going to think that they're going to read something into it. And I said, you know, you're probably right. Because I will tell you, as I told her, I'm not viewing this as an admirer. I want to understand. And I've learned several things from these things that never have come out before. I'm learning really quickly how to grade some of these documentaries on how much stuff, because the good ones document what they're putting out and give you new stuff that you never saw before and say this came out of such and so. And the other ones just reprint the same old junk that you can buy in any book on the Third Reich that isn't footnoted and blah, blah, blah. So I've learned some stuff about the history. But the fact is, if I'm being monitored, and I don't see how I could not be being monitored.
Well, you don't trip any of the switches, Chuck. I mean, you don't teach classes on the... Wait a minute. Yeah, you do teach classes on the Constitution. You don't run camps that talk about... Really? Oh, wait, no, wait a minute. Yeah, you do run a camp that claims our biblical heritage.
Yeah.
Let's see. You're not involved with anything like Agenda 20... wait a minute. No, the APC... Okay, yeah, you're on the list.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Some of my good friends are Tom DeWeese from the American Policy Center, Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America.
And that one right there is probably enough to get you on the list all by itself.
Let's see. Mike Kaufman of Environmental Perspectives Incorporated. Let's see. Who else? Joel McDermott now from American Vision. Yeah, I've got a long list of friends who probably have me on a list because they're undoubtedly on a list. So this is a subject near and dear to my heart. And like I said, one of the things that you get when you collect data without context is you can very often draw an incorrect conclusion from that.
Oh, absolutely.
And let's say I accidentally was calling somebody and accidentally, you know, I fat finger people all the time. In fact, I was trying to call you yesterday and I accidentally ended up dialing somebody from my old church that I haven't talked to in about a year and a half.
Well, that's because it was providential. You needed to talk to That's what happened.
I guess so. So what if I fat-fingered you and got some terrorist from down there in Gallipolis, because we all know the place is absolutely full
just
of
crawling with those kind of people.
Foreign agents, yeah. But seriously, what would happen if I got the wrong number? And I have people calling me all the time from all over the world on my business. I'm sitting here wondering what my very thick now file at the whatever intelligence agency, probably the National Security Agency, if not the FBI, my family having been involved in health freedom issues now for 40 plus years, I'm quite sure I know I have an FDA file about as thick as my thigh.
Well, the one thing that you can, I think, always take comfort in, Chuck, no matter how thick your file gets, the people who are keeping the file's file is probably thicker than yours.
Yeah, more than likely.
When it gets right down to it. And that's where we're at today, Chuck, because as this has happened with Edward Snowden coming out, that's the whistleblower on this whole thing with the PRISM program, and he's holed up in a hotel somewhere in Hong Kong worried about whether or not he's going to see tomorrow. The Guardian newspaper in Britain was the one who broke this story, because as we talked about in an earlier program, you can't expect the American news media to roll over on their dear president, Mr. Obama. So today's article comes from the Mail Online, which is the Daily Mail, which is another British newspaper. And this one, I think, Chuck, should, if the other stories we talked about from The Guardian don't concern people, this one ought to.
Right. Let's talk about why. Well, first of all, let's think we ought to give exactly what this article says. I'll leave that up to you.
Okay. Well, basically what happened here is this is one where I guess we can actually tip a hat to an American media outlet, because The Atlantic magazine, one of their editors, Steve Clemens, was sitting last Saturday at Dulles Airport in Washington, and he overheard a conversation. Well, the conversation happened to be between a group of intelligence officers, American intelligence officers, one who was supposedly connected to the National Counterterrorism Center. Okay? And he heard them talking at some length about this issue with the whistleblower and about the newspaper reporter for the Guardian newspaper by the name of Glenn Greenwald. He was the one who actually broke the story and did the interview with Edward Snowden. Now, Clemens, the Atlantic editor, heard this conversation and tweeted about it on Saturday and basically said, in Dulles UAL lounge, listening to four U.S. intel officials saying loudly, leaker and reporter on NSA stuff should be disappeared. Okay, now, Chuck, the word disappeared in intelligence circles is code for murdered or assassinated quietly out of the limelight. It's wet works. It's what the CIA is known for.
Yes.
Or historically have been known for is doing what they call wet work operations, where you go in and you take out a target, an asset that goes bad, or an enemy. And you do it, oh, well, we've done it before with drones, I think, haven't we?
Well, the CIA has a specialty in making it look like an accident, a heart attack, a stroke,
or drug suicide.
Or a drug. It depends on whether they want to embarrass the person or not. A suicide, or especially a drug overdose. They're very good at that. Or disappeared actually sometimes mean just that. That a person disappeared and never seen again.
Never seen again, that's right.
Live or dead, chances are dead. Or packed off into a secret CIA prison someplace that, as we've learned about much earlier, does occur. Unfortunately, there are places where the CIA has had prisons off the United States soil where all kinds of torture is used, because actually they can do that because we're not on U.S. soil. That kind of logic.
Right.
Well, the reason why this is scary, these people from the NSA talking about this kind of thing in a half-joking, half-not manner, is the fact that they can get it done.
Yeah, well, there's that.
That is the really frightening part about this. The fact that they can get the job done with really no problem at all, snap of a finger and it's done, is what makes this not funny. Why it makes it not really a joke.
No. Now, the big problem is that same day on Saturday, National Intelligence Director James Clapper, who is our Director of National Intelligence, went public saying, really, that, oh, we did all this stuff to keep Americans safe. And they were authorized by Congress. Well, what he's saying is that the PRISM program was authorized under the Patriot Act, but they actually had to go to court and you get a court order from a judge in order to be able to go and get the data from the servers of companies like Facebook, Google, Verizon Wireless, and others, who basically turned over massive reams of data on everything from your phone calls to your internet searches to the National Security Administration.
Well, it's turning out now that the number of companies isn't just a small list.
Isn't it up to like 35 companies? 50. Now? 50 now. 50. Okay, it just keeps growing.
In fact, I will post also a thing from the Daily Mail.
And let me not forget, Microsoft is also among those. So if you thought that you were the software that you buy and use, you're not getting your personal information recorded on it, guess again.
Yeah. Apple, Facebook, Microsoft, Google, Yahoo, YouTube, Skype, AOL, and PalTalk are among the companies. There's a whole big list. I can tell you, if someone came to me and said, I want all the records for such and such and so, here's a badge, give it to me. No, give me a court order. And if they handed me one of these blanket court orders, I'd say, nope, that's not going to fly here. Take me to jail, but I'm not giving it to you. And you'll take it anyway, but take it, because I'm not giving it to you without a specific court order seeking specific records. And no one in the corporate side has stood up for the Constitution, probably because they don't understand it. They don't know it. They don't understand it. And in fact, they're so connected in these government-private partnerships.
Public-private partnerships, yeah.
That they're so co-opted, they can't refuse at this point, or they'll lose their contracts.
Well, and you know what? Let's put this in context, Chuck, because I think we've been talking about this in all these companies, and that all sounds big, but let's discuss specifics, how much data the NSA was mining, because documents that were obtained by the Guardian newspaper, Glenn Greenwald, shows that the government was using a data mining tool they called Boundless Informant. Okay?
Well,
I'll tell you what, creativity is not, they don't get an A for creativity. But basically, they says that the agency collected almost 3 billion, with a B, billion pieces of intelligence from U.S. computer networks over a 30-day period.
30 days, 3 billion pieces in 30 days.
Ending in March. From February to sometime in March, they collected 3 billion pieces of data from computer networks. Well, guys, if you got a computer, guess what? Your information's in there somewhere.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
3 billion people. Well, let me think. That would be on the magnitude of 10 distinct pieces of information for every man, woman, and child in the United States of America.
Yeah.
Because we are like at 319 million people. 10 distinct pieces of information on you and everybody around you, the federal government can collect in under a month. Now, we talk about privacy and the Fourth Amendment. Well, Charles, there is no such thing anymore. Of course, the Director of Intelligence, James Clapper, has kind of bristled at this whole thing. He says, in a rush to publish, media outlets have not given the full context, including the extent to which these programs are overseen by all three branches of government. Really?
Overseen? 30 billion pieces of information in a month is overseen?
Well, I'm sure Congress is going through all of that to make sure that everything's redacted that's sensitive.
By 536 people plus the judiciary, which amounts to maybe 300 judges?
Yeah. Okay.
300-400 judges?
Yeah, all the federal judges? No.
No.
Okay. But he says here, in particular, the surveillance activities published in The Guardian and The Washington Post, see, the Post is now finally coming on board,
yeah,
are lawful and conducted under authorities widely known and discussed and fully debated and authorized by Congress. Man, I'll tell you what, Clapper's climbing out on a very thin limb.
Yeah, he is.
And he's turning around and pulling out a camp axe.
But he's right. And I'll tell you what that means. We're electing the wrong people to Congress.
Well, we've known that for a while.
For a long time. But this simply illustrates the point that you and I have been attempting to make for like the last 11 or 12 years. I'm pretty sure that's as we've known each other, probably longer than that. I know I've been working to get some people unelected and others elected for the better part of 40 years. And that puts me even before I was able to vote. This just illustrates the point I've been trying to make for many of those years. That is, don't get suckered in because somebody talks nicely, says the right conservative things, because do you know who the worst players in defending this is right now? It's not the Democrats.
It's the Republicans.
It's the Republicans.
Of course it is.
It's the Republicans, and I'll tell you why. We're almost out of time, but here's the sequence. If it's bad now, it was bad in 2001 when it got passed. And who ran the executive branch and both houses of Congress in 2001?
Be the Republicans.
That'd be the Republicans.
Of course.
So who does this go back to?
It goes back to George Bush.
It goes back to George W. Bush and the conservative, quote-unquote, Congress.
But, and this is what we can end this on, I'm not going to leave Barack Obama untouched by this.
No.
Because he actually, on last Friday, opened his mouth on this one. He said, quote, I came in with a healthy skepticism about these programs. My team evaluated them. We scrubbed them thoroughly. We actually expanded some of the oversight, increased some of the safeguards. But my assessment and my team's assessment was that they help us prevent terrorist attacks. You can't have 100% security and also then have 100% privacy and zero inconvenience. We're going to have to make some choices as a society.
Yeah.
And that's what Barack Obama.
And what choice do you make? Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.